Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Fun show today. And pleased to be joined by Titans General Manager John Robinson, who's preparing for the NFL Draft coming up in a little over a week. John, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. How are we doing?
Excellent. I know you love written reports. You've seen these guys, but you want the ability to close your eyes and visualize the player as if you haven't watched him play. Have you sent any reports back from your scouting department for a second draft?
No, we have not. It's to get our hands on these guys and spend some time with it. We're in the middle of our visits. Today's the last day that we can have prospects come in and visit with us. We've got some meetings with coaches this afternoon. We've had some meetings with scouts. They'll be in again next week. So the process is drawing closer and closer to next week.
This is our first visit with you since the confirmation of the contract extension from Amy Adams Strunk that Paul Kaharsky wrote about. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Very, very appreciative of Amy and her family, and just my family and I are super excited to be around here for a while and hopefully continue to build on what we've kind of got started here and make a deeper run in the playoffs and see where that takes us.
I was talking to her at the owners meeting where I learned about her second property in Nashville out in Leaper's Fork. You ever been out there?
I have not. However, I have heard that there are some great eating establishments, which I'm trying to back away from. I've picked up a little poundage over my travels this spring. Maybe once I get my weight down, Puckett's, and there's a couple other spots out there that I've heard are worth visiting.
You're back on the roller coaster. There's just no avoiding it, is there?
No, that's unfortunately, Paul. That's part of my routine is up down, kind of like the Florida Georgia Line song. My weight's a little up down.
Did you? Will you have used all 30 of the visits after today?
I think we're pretty close to it. If we're not, or it's 28, 29, 27, somewhere around in there. But we're right at 30. We're right at 30.
John Robinson with us on the Midday 180. You were aggressive early in free agency. How aggressive can you be in this draft with six current selections? I'm not asking what you will do, but what could you do in this year's draft with the currency? And what could that allow you to, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That's a great question. Last couple of years, we've obviously had more draft currency where we were able to maybe move and shake a little bit more in each round. You know, we still have picks that you can move around and shuffle and get yourself in position, whether it's trade up or back to accumulate more picks. And then, you know, you always have future picks. I'm not really big on giving away future picks if I don't have to. But if the situation is right and we think it's good for the football team, that's certainly something that we will entertain.
So you feel like you still have the flexibility to move up? Certainly you can move back, but to move up in the draft if you need to?
I think it would probably cost quite a bit. I don't know that that's something that we would ideally like to do, but it's certainly a door we're not closing. If there's a player there that we think can really come in and help our football team, and the price is right, you know, it's when you're on the clock, for those teams that are say from really anywhere in the draft, if their player's gone and they're really looking to bail on the pick, you know, maybe like Walmart, they might roll back the price a little bit for you, and you can get up there a little bit cheaper than, you know, if there's a player staring them in the face that they really want.
Do you go into the draft knowing in the back of your mind, I hope things break out exactly like this so I can do X? Or do you go into it just thinking, I'm completely open to all possibilities, I'm okay to go whatever direction this thing goes?
No, I think you have to, it's kind of like game planning for a game. You have to work through the scenarios and the situations that you think might come up in it. You know, last year there were a bunch of, you know, move ups for a couple of those quarterbacks. And you've got to be ready for a run on any position or any movement. It's something you can't really predict, but you have to have. At the end of the day, I haven't been doing this a long time, but I've been long enough, and I learned from a lot of evaluators and guys that ran the draft that you have to be ready to pick. You have to have a player ready, so that when you're on the clock, if you can't move out of there, you get a guy that you think can come in and help your football team.
I know you guys keep a spreadsheet of all of the different craziness of mock drafts out there just to get a gauge of where guys may fall in the first round or so. But how many mocks will you and your staff go through and create on your own in an effort to come up with every possible scenario you could see on draft night?
We're up to 131 now. I'm kidding. We talk through the scenarios daily. We've got a board where we'll move players around, and well, this player might go here, this player might go there, or this team, well, it sounds like they visited this position group, so I could see this player fitting there and this guy's contract's expiring or something. We definitely talk through all those scenarios. And it's going to make, Thursday kind of a long night for us. I have to wait around for pick 25 to roll around.
131 was low. You should have gone higher.
Yeah. Gone higher.
I started to write it down. I know you're not going to tell us how many first round graded players you guys have in this draft, but I also know frequently teams don't have 32 first round players in a draft. If drafting at 25, your first round guys are gone and you can't move out, do you just willingly take somebody that you don't have graded as a first rounder, but who's still the most highly graded best player that's available to you? And accept that you're getting somebody you feel like is second round value with a first round pick?
Yeah, great question, Paul. It's a lot of these teams, they talk in terms of rounds. I think I've said it before. We don't really, at some point you kind of put them in a round, but we talk in terms of do we think they can be eventual starters? Do we think they can be impact players? Do we think they're do they have a role on the team? Are they a role player, whether they come in on third down or they play more on first and second down? But yeah, the count for first round players, quote unquote, that are actually in this draft, I don't know what that number is. I know for us, at the end of the day, we want to come away with a good football player that can come in and play our style of football player. He doesn't have to necessarily, be a first round player for 31 other teams. But if he's about what we're about, he wants to play the style of football and he's going to buy in, to what we've, what we're trying to establish here from a team first concept and playing that style of football. And he's going to, do things the right way. We'll have no problem taking a player that we think can come in here and help us.
You said that if he's about what we're about, and we know how big you've been on that since you've taken over, to what degree can you win with culture? I mean, to what degree do you need special players, and to what degree, when you're lacking a special player, can you win with culture?
Yeah, I think certainly the players are the ones that go out there and play, and you need good football players. But I think that locker room and that group of guys that show up and go to work with each other this time of year, certainly in the fall during training camps, throughout the course of a long season, the teammates are very important, and having the respect of your teammate and knowing that you're going to put it all on the line for the guy beside you and he's going to do the same for you and the guy beside him, I think that's a powerful, powerful thing. And I think that can propel a team to, whether there's talent on the team or not, maybe play above, their talent on paper, if you will. And I think that this locker room is made up of a bunch of guys that are committed to the process, that love the game of football, and that are passionate about doing whatever they can to be a good teammate and be the best player that they can be.
John Robinson with us on the Midday 180.
John, we've talked a lot about your relationship with Mike Vrabel and your level of communication with him. How's the communication been with Matt LaFleur, now leading your offense, in terms of what he needs personnel-wise to make his offense work? What's that been like as you guys have sort of talked through that?
Yeah, and that was one of the first things that, we did when he came on board, and we assembled the staff, the offensive staff, as we talked through each position group and what they were looking for in those specific positions, the strengths and things that they really needed and things that maybe you didn't quite need with this position as maybe more so did you do with this other position. And we've had that open dialogue back and forth, through the free agency process with the guys that we've added, and then now transitioning into the draft process is, I'm charged at the end of the day to pick players for this football team that are going to fit the Titans. We're all in this together, and it's been good dialogue back and forth. He'll grab me in the hall and say, "Hey, I watched this guy that you liked in the draft, and here's what I thought." And it's been good. That open line of communication back and forth is, I think, is important for us to grow together.
John, with Vrabel, I know you have attended many of these pro days and private workouts this offseason, like you have each of the seasons. But with Vrabel there, how many of those did you attend together versus splitting up and going separate places on certain days?
Yeah, I think there were two or three where we were there together. That was good. We were able to watch the guys watch them move around. Got into a couple drills with the guys. Got to sit down with some of the prospects afterwards in the film room. Get to know them a little bit better. Do a little chalk talk with those guys. See what they know about the game. And again, anytime we can be in the room with prospects, be around guys, see how they're interacting with their teammates. Certainly see how they perform in the specific drills that they're asked to do at the pro days, the evaluation. It's a long process, and it's another piece.
This might be the one-year anniversary of the actuarial table question, but I'm going to give it another go in a different form.
I was hoping you would. I was really hoping you would.
Yeah, annual event. How much do you consider the distribution of your resources over time? We've spent this much on offensive line, and we haven't spent on linebacker in a long time. And over time, do those things need to even out for you in terms of free agent dollars and some kind of combination of free agent dollars and draft pick values?
Yeah, sure. At some point, you can't pay everybody. That's the nature. That's the way the league is set up for free agency is, and that's why the draft picks are important to get some return on those investments, draft pick wise. We look at the monetary allocation that we have set aside at different position groups. This player's coming up or this player's coming up, we may need to draft this or maybe need to go after this in free agency. To me, that's the balance of attacking free agency and attacking the draft is, the supply and demand. What's the supply of players in free agency at this position relative to the supply of players in, the draft? And are we going to be able to get ourselves in position to get player A in the draft? Well, then that might knock us out of player A in free agency and vice versa. So it's a constant balance of looking at free agency, looking at players that are going to become available in free agency versus the players that are going to be available in the draft.
What's the state of the board right now and what remains in terms of meetings?
Still have some coaches meetings coming up. We've got some medical meetings and stuff like that. We're going to sit down with our doctors and go through stuff like that. But it's getting closer. We're tweaking a little here and a little there. I don't think this is the time of year where we've had this board has been up since early July or late July I should say last year. And we've kind of slowly and meticulously moved players here and there throughout the process, through our scouting meetings, after the All-Star games, after the combine, and then now, taking stock on the pro days and then the meetings with the scouts again and the coaches, start to just kind of massage the board here and move a player here or there.
Beyond Butler and Lewis, when you look at your free agency work, when you add Suofilo and Pamphile on the offensive line and Compton to the inside linebacker group, is part of what you do there kind of relieve yourself of we must get help at this position? So it might be a position where you really like to draft, but you come out of a situation where if we don't, we still have a competitive situation with guys that we like.
I think that's a great point. I think that's part of the supply and demand and the balance of trying to set yourself up going into the draft. with a pretty good roster, and knowing that these, you know, young players, that sometimes they take time to learn the offense or defense and get out there on the field. But I think adding those guys were good football players. They were productive players for their teams. They were available to us. And we felt that they made us a more competitive football team. And at the end of the day, I've said this for the last couple of years, we want to be the most competitive 90-man team heading into training camp as possible. And then, you know, let the competition, you know, kind of continue on, and the best 53 guys will be on the team.
John, I've been hearing this a lot. The group, the show, we've been saying this a lot, but we've all said, go draft a three-down inside linebacker who can cover a variety of targets and routes, but also play the run and pursue the ball carrier with ease. It's tough to find a franchise quarterback, an elite pass rusher, an all-pro corner, but it seems at times the descriptions of three-down inside linebacker is thrown around a little too frequently. How rare is it to find a player to fit that description perfectly, not just in this draft, but any draft?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's for guys to go out and really perform at a high level on all three downs. They're pretty rare. But I think if you look at the player and you maximize what the player's skill set is, and linebacker, for instance, you know, he may be an off the ball linebacker on early downs. And then on third down, he may be in some type of blitz package, or he may be on the line of scrimmage and rushing. You know, he may be off the field. Again, I think the thing that you know, Coach Pease and Vrabel certainly are going to bring to us is putting those guys in positions where we know what their role is, and we put them in situations throughout the course of the game for them to be successful and turn our football team be successful.
Piggybacking off that question, in an age of specialization, is it easier to find those guys that are just really good all-around football players but maybe lack an elite skill set in one area? Or is it easy to find the guy who specialized in one thing, who may be an elite speed guy at wide receiver but can't do everything, or an elite pass rusher off the edge but can't play all three downs? Which of the two is easier to find in college football right now?
Yeah, I think it's probably trending towards the latter. You know, these college teams, they have bigger rosters. They've got way more players, so they can have, you know, one guy that does one thing or maybe two things really well. There are players that you see that have some well-roundedness, if that's a term, where they're pretty good at everything. But I think what we're finding and what we're seeing now in the evaluation process is it's really they're you know, the needle's kind of pushed more towards being a role guy that they're good at, you know, one or two things, but maybe not so good at the third thing, and then they have another player that they bring in for the third thing that they need to get accomplished.
John Robinson with us on the Midday 180. Tell us about the JDRF Promise Gala that's coming up at Nissan Stadium this year, which is a change.
Yeah, you know, big event for me personally and my family. Our oldest daughter, Taylor, was diagnosed a couple years back when she was 6 years old with type 1 diabetes. It's kind of a silent killer. We thought we almost lost her twice. But, you know, through medicine and doctors and insulin, you know, she's healthy and she's doing well. We're expecting, you know, close to 1,000 people there. I think it's the first black tie event, held in, certainly on the field in Nissan Stadium. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a lot of good people there. A lot of type 1 diabetes families or people that have that, you know, friends or relatives that are close to them with the disease, and hopes to find a cure, so that, you know, they don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and prick their finger three times to check their blood sugar level to see if they need insulin or need sugar. So, hope to raise a lot of money. We raised a little over 1.6 or 1.7 million last year, hoping to break that $2 million, barrier this year. My wife, Jamie, and I are chairing the event this year, so we're super excited. There's a lot of great auction items. Should be some good food, some good fellowship, and a lot of fun.
And I know Amy Adams Strunk is receiving a big award that night.
Extremely, couldn't be more grateful for her and her family and what they have done for me and my family in support of the disease. Yeah, she's going to be our honoree this Saturday night at the event, and should be good.
We wish you luck with that and hope you get great weather. It seems like finally things have turned. So
yes, hopefully. One more nugget for you guys if you want it.
I was going to ask if Mariota's getting his...
I know you guys are big nugget guys, so here, I don't know if it's breaking news, but we are planning on exercising Marcus Mariota's fifth-year option. Excited to have him here as our quarterback, and hopefully he's here for a long time.
Thank you very much, sir.
I wish you could see how quickly Paul is typing right now.
It's a tweet fest. I can only imagine if that's a word.
The only thing that would go out faster is video or audio evidence of you on stage with Florida Georgia Line.
I missed that because I had to be talking to guys in the uniform. Did you actually sing?
I think I uttered a couple words, but thank goodness they sang louder than I did, and I got dragged. I was a little disappointed the other night at the ACMs that BB Rexha was up there and not me, to be honest.
I only saw small audio or video clips. I haven't heard audio. I'd love to, though.
Hey, yeah, just turn it down when you listen again.
Hey, great catching up with you. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to get back to my actuary table.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck.
See you.
John Robinson joins us, telling us that they were picking up the fifth-year option on Mariota. No surprise.
No surprise at all. But still, newsworthy. So
Midday 180, your source for breaking news.
Let's open up the phone lines. What did you take away from our conversation with John Robinson?
Yeah, I want to get some reaction to that. I thought he went in depth on a lot of process answer, a lot of process questions about getting ready for the draft and how to anticipate things that are really difficult to anticipate over the course of an entire draft.